Hello and good morning. Today's message ushers in a new way of viewing God's Word for many believers. Often we are called by Pastor John to listen to the sermon. Today we are asked to do something much more than that. We are all being called to judge ourselves as a Christian church and announce the final verdict. Our faith does not stand on what we say to another person. Rather, it rests on our total faithfulness towards the Word of God. I must pass the microphone to Pastor John as he petitions our attention for the next few minutes. Before I go, let me say this. The way we listen to these weeks of messages must and will dictate our Christianity. Are we real or unreal? Does it all matter or not? Are we willing to follow or run? Pastor John, speak to us.
Thank you, Clifford. I'm glad to take these few words with you. I know some of you think that this music is kind of solemn and you really don't want to hear it. You expected to hear that new wave kind of Christian music that everybody likes to listen to. Have you ever picked up a cigarette pack and turned it over and it says, warning, this cigarette can be hazardous to your health? Well, that's all Pastor John wants to share with you this morning. Warning, this next group series of sermons can be hazardous to your health. I'm telling you the truth before God. If you listen to these few sermons for the next 4 or 5 weeks, it is going to be hazardous to you. It's going to cause some harm to you. That's exactly why they're preached. That is the fullest of the intent. For the next few weeks, I plan to exegete Titus chapter 2 like I've never done it before. I'm going to take time in the text of Scripture. And I'm going to take that time for you because we don't take enough. In order for us to become nearer to God and to reap the benefits of what He has for us, it's going to take a disciplined Christian behavior. God bless you, and thank you for enjoying these lessons on life.
Delve into the Word of God.
Please, Lord.
Speak to me, and then speak to these your children. For those in the room that have no idea who you are, speak to them. Speak again to them. Move in our lives in a way that you've never moved before. And we will listen. We assure you that in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. We begin a new theme this morning, Life Springs, Lessons for the Learner. No, my friends, you can be Christians for 38, 48, 58, 108 years and never learn all you can from God's Word. Life Springs, Lesson for the Learner. Our subject this morning is foreclosure by default. The reason that I chose that subject matter is because there's no question today as to what the spiritual condition of the church is. Saints are disobedient right across the board. Pastors are not faithful. Members are planning right now, this moment, how to sin. As a matter of fact, there are certain members of certain churches whose pastors have told them, you cannot live a life of morality. You cannot live up to the standards of the Scriptures. That was for yesterday. It is not for today. The church is in horrendous shape. The mortgage of salvation has been foreclosed by our default. The church, as a matter of fact, has become invisible. No one knows what a Christian is nowadays. It's difficult to tell because we can go to our religious and through our religious ceremonies and we can pretend, put on a pretense, a false funny face. We can come to church and say the right words, sing the right songs, and the Holy Spirit has never prompted us to do one thing. The church is in foreclosure by default today. Where there ought to be that concerted effort to embrace the Word of God, we have substituted, prostituted, and instituted doctrinal deceit. We have substituted the Word of God for extreme pleasure. Amen. Our churches are full of pleasure syndromes. I must go to be made to feel well instead of rid myself of hell. The church is not only full of substitutions, but it's prostituted itself out. It's put itself out on the corner for hire, for anyone to use it any way that they can. The church was not appalled when MTV had their awards this week. The church was not appalled when one of the black singers of our modern era exposed his body. The church was not in shock. The church did not call the media, the newspapers. They smiled, and when they heard that MTV was going to re-roll the tape, they sat down and viewed it because they didn't see it the first time. Foreclosure by default. The church has become a popular place for people to meet, to lose their minds. They are so into themselves that Jesus, if he walked through the door, we would say he's a dinosaur. He is not of this age. We have instituted doctrinal deceit. We don't know true doctrine from false. As a matter of fact, we have resurrected our own doctrine. And we're pleased with ourselves. We're the modern church of the 90s. We've done away with righteousness. And now we have bitten into the false deceit of psychology. There are more Christian psychologists than pastors counseling their people. Christian psychologists are making money by the millions. And your pastor has the word for you. It's in the Bible. Repent, and your life will get better. You don't need to go to anyone and tell you, well, it happened 20 years ago. It's happening right now. Repent. You'll be healed. Church has abdicated. It's gone through foreclosure by default. We don't know who we are. God is not pleased with our behavior, people. I'm going to repeat that God is not pleased with my behavior as the church. When I speak of the church, I include myself. Ah, Pastor John, you could have studied more. But you went walking last night. Yes, I sure did. I got to keep my body in good shape. But when I went walking, I was studying. I was studying my life. I was looking at how I look at people that I passed. I was looking at how some of them sweet sisters looked at me as I passed. I read their faces. I knew what the intent of their heart was. And I was outraged and appalled. What happens when you go walking, my friend? Satan has foreclosed the mortgage, my friend. And God is opposed. Is opposed, that is, and appalled and basically outraged at us. We come week after week after week after week, we hear scriptures. We read them, we sing our songs, and we leave and our lives are a disaster. Foreclosed the mortgage. And many churches have given up because of spiritual default. If the Word of God means anything to you as it means to me, I want you to give attention today. Because this morning begins the first of many sermons that will cause something to happen in your life. And if you take a very close look at Titus chapter 2, the writer Paul knew exactly what he was doing as he addressed the given needs of the church in his day and age. And I would like to say this, that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is speaking to us today, for our church is in the same bad shape. What do we see? Let's look at verse 1. God speaks to me. This is a command to all pastors, ministers, preachers, elders, and shepherds. This is a command to us, and God is not playing when he commands people like me. If you look at verse 2, you're going to see God talking with older men in the church, those of you that's been saved for more than 20 years. Then if you look on down in the next verse, God is going to be talking to you older ladies in the church that's been hanging around here 30, 40, and 50 years. Then after that, God is going to speak to you younger men and younger women, young adults and teenagers in the church. And we won't even get down there. I hope I finish verse 1 today. As I go through this series and as you continue, now I know what you're going to do. You're going to go home and read it and say, oh, I know what John is going to do. You've missed Christianity. This isn't John's thing. I'm speaking to you as if Jesus Christ were here today. Now, let's get me right so that you'll understand what my role is and what my job is. God has given a command to the pastor this morning, to all preachers, to all ministers, elders, and shepherds. If there's any man of God that ever hear this message, you must stand before God and give an account for what you do in your life, preacher. And isn't it unique that Paul first addresses the leader of the church, the spiritual leader? He's addressing us because most of us are not doing what God told us to do. This modern era of electronics, you can always do away with hums. Let's look at verse 1. But as for you, now let me stop right there. Let me stop right there. The issue is directed at the one that is most responsible. God says, as for you, Pastor John, God says, I'm talking to you, preacher. I'm talking to you, minister. I'm talking to you, you theologically trained idiot. I'm talking to you. You have a responsibility before me. Now, God is not playing off me because I think I'm so smart. I am not exempt because I'm the pastor. First of all, God speaks to me. He says, but as for you. Now, what is he telling me? He is commanding me to speak nothing less than the oracles of God. When he says speak, he says, you better talk about it. You better tell them what they're doing wrong. You'd better proclaim my word. Now, let me stop right here because many of our preachers today are not talking about anything but politics and the problems in society. You know where the problem should not be? The problem should never be in the church. He's saying, as for you, preacher, you tell them about their sins face to face. You confront the issue. You make them nervous. You make them feel my wrath when you preach. You never preach something to make them feel good. You always say something to make them know that I'm alive and they are dead before me. He says, you teach, you speak, you preach, you talk. And then he goes on and tells me something else. The things that are fitting. Most of our churches, preachers are not teaching and speaking fitting things. You know, they're doing, they're tickling their ears. They're telling them, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Whole church living in sin. I said, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. All of them living in sin. I said, God's not concerned about your feeling, you hypocrite. There's sin in the body. They're listening and looking at things that are tearing them up spiritually. The youngsters have no hope outside of MTV. The parents are trying to be young. The grandparents are trying to stay from getting old. You need to shake them up, preacher. Speak the truth. You don't want that. There are many preachers today that will not tell you the truth because you control their money. You see, my friend, since you control their money, they won't hear you. I'm going to speak the truth to you. I got a feeling everything's not going to be all right. As a matter of fact, I got this feeling. He's going to devastate you where you stand unless you repent. Church doesn't want to hear that today. This kind of preaching that I'm preaching right now has become old-fashioned. If a prophet came from the grave, you'd say, what are you teaching, preacher? I have a very good feeling that everything is not going to be all right. As a matter of fact, it is getting real wrong. Speak the things that are fitting. That means suitable and proper. In the Greek term, it means speak those things that will power the individual up. Speak those things that will build him to a level of completion. Speak those things that will tear down the garbage in the life and foundationalize his relationship with God. He says to the preacher, speak those things that will devastate sin and resurrect righteousness. Now, when that happens, my friend, you've got to die to yourself. God is telling me, man, what are you doing here? This isn't a little quaint Bible study every Sunday morning. You tell them that they are wrong, and they will answer to me. And if I do that, my friends, I'm telling you, I cannot give you a nice little story every week. I must teach you those things that will break you like a man breaking a 2x4. That's what he tells me to do. Speak those things which are fitting to tower, to build them up, to support them. The church today doesn't want to be built up. The church today wants to be entertained. That's all they want. They want to have fun. You need to repent so you can get God's work done. Now he tells me that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Let's go there. Use your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. I've worked up a sweat already, and I haven't even started to preach. It says, whosoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances or the oracles of God. Whoever serves, let him do it as one who is strengthened on the strength that God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. In other words, Peter is saying, if you're a shepherd, speak that only that God once said. God is saying to me, preacher, don't you ever come and tell them what they want to hear. Don't you ever buy into their insanity. I don't care if it's your head deacon, take his head off. I don't care if it's the head of the missionary society, fire her. I don't care if it's your wife, sabotage her efforts. God says to the preacher, I didn't tell you to be nice. He said, I told you to come with the sword of the word, because when I come, I'm coming with the sword. We don't even know who God is. I know what most of us think he is. It's some white man in the corner of the universe with a sickle. That's not God. Do you know who he is? The spirit that dwells in you, that speaks to you every day of your life when you sin, when he said, oh boy, you know you wrong. That's who he is. He ain't coming in a lightning bolt like your grandmother taught you. He's coming with a guilty conscience. That's the way he talks with you. Play him off all you want to. He told me, Pastor John, but as for you, you creep, speak the things that are fitting. Fitting for what, Jesus? For sound doctrine. Now, when I looked up that term sound, it means something else. It says, speak that which is healthy for them. I'm not going to give you junk food in this church. You want junk food, you'll go to where some, and I'm not saying that big churches are wrong. I know some fine. You want to go to a good big church, you go to Dr. John MacArthur. They seat, what, is it 12, 13, 15, or 2,000? Go to a church like that. They preach truth there. Whole bunch of folks sitting around there. But some of these other places like Circle of Doom, you go into, there's no truth there. Oh, they're going to teach you pragmatism. You want a Cadillac, get on your face before God. Like I said Friday night, you need an RTD bus pass. You don't need a Cadillac. He said, John, tell them those things that are sound. In other words, those things that are safe. I cannot preach to you those things that are not going to provide safety for you. I can't shepherd you if you just want a safe religion. Well, you know, Pastor, I'd never do that. Yes, you will. You're capable of sin just the way that I am. You're born and shaping in it. Your whole life is nothing but a joke, just like mine is. Admit it to God. I'll never admit that to God. You will. You don't understand what my role is. My role is to come with a hammer and sickle, and not like the communists, with a hammer to beat you down and a sickle to cut your feet from under you when you disobey his precious word. Now that's my role, and I better do it very well, or he's going to cut my feet from under me. Now the hypocrite sitting up there in church said, by God, preacher, he sure is, because I'm going to cut you off. Do you know what you're doing? You are committing spiritual suicide. You touch God's anointing like that when he's teaching you right. You're going to wish you never were born. And I'll be there at your bedside looking at you. You're going to cut who off? You can't cut me off. I'm here to build you up. Christianity is quite different from what we see on our televisions today. Everybody just going there, standing up, clapping everything, and the preacher just rolling off scripture a mile a minute, not exegeting anything, not saying anything. I've been speaking, 20 minutes already, and I haven't even got through verse 1. Preaching the word is getting you to move from where you are to place you where God wants you. In doing that, I've got to pull up and I've ripped some stuff. And some of us say, don't talk to me, man. You messing with me. I don't like this kind of message. You don't know what he told me to do. He said, as for you, you joker, Pastor John, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. In other words, this word doctrine is a real, real, real good word. Speak those things that are fitting for sound instruction. Now, the church today does not believe that they need to be instructed. As a matter of fact, the church today has this particular idea, hey, man, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, to whomever I want, and you can't make me do nothing. I can't. I'm powerless. Pastor John can make you do nothing. I will never try to ever make you do anything. I will get on my knees before God and say, cut their feet from under them, those filthy rebels, and show them who you are. That's all I pray for rebels in the church. I don't, oh, what is this? A dear sister told me, oh, Pastor John, it's your job to save them. I had to correct the sister and said, no, that's God's job. He died on Calvary. It's not my job to get anybody in this room saved. That's not the pastor. The pastor can't save anybody here. I can't save, nor can I send anybody to hell. What is my role? He told me. He says, as for you, you joker, speak those things that are proper for a healthy instruction. And when I speak those things and you kick your heels up, I'm going to say, Lord, cut their feet from under them to show them who you are. Oh, no, Pastor, you're supposed to get on your face and pray, oh, help them. Help you in disobedience? I would never consummate in God's word like that. I'm going to say, help me, Lord, chop them down and give me the strength to do it. Oh, Pastor, you don't love them. With my whole heart, I love you. And once we come down to your role and everything down here, you're going to see exactly what he's going to do to you if you don't do it. I know you want to read ahead to see what he's saying about you. You're just disobedient. And that's our problems. You read three verses of scripture and you think you've done God's service. You better exegete the text properly. That's why I'm taking my time with you. See, God is talking to me, my friends. Doctrine. You know what doctrine is? Doctrine is this. Doctrine is that which is taught by study and experience. Now, when God tells me to teach you doctrine, that means you teach them what you've learned about me. Some people say, well, we don't need all that new stuff. Oh, no, no, hold it. That's why you need it, because you don't know how to live. I teach you doctrine through my study and my experience. My experience in life is when I displease God, he whips me. So I doctrinally go to the scripture and tell you where he's going to whip you. Now you can get mad at me and say, you don't talk to me like that. And I said, I beg your pardon, I do. That's what he told me to do, to talk to you. Well, I won't come to this church. Well, you go on and hide in one of them hell holes called the church. Well, that pastor's not concerned about anything but the amount of money that you put on that table in front of him. He is a hireling and you've hired him and he's going to do exactly what you told him to do. How can a pastor have a homosexual setting on the piano? You know he is a homosexual playing and having a relationship with somebody in the choir, and they're playing one of these things, just beating that thing to death, and just as funny as a $13 bill. And the pastor says, the Lord, he done been blessing us. Get that pervert off the key. Tell that pervert to repent. Oh, man, you talking about people. You wait till Jesus comes. He's coming with the sickle. And guess who he's going to cut the feet off? The preacher's going first. Oh, I don't like this stuff. I told you before this message is over, you may get up and leave. And if you get up and leave, you don't have to come back to Olivet, because only Christians can stand this. See, Christians can stand this stuff. The non-Christian, he can't stomach this. I thought it was different. It is when you let him make you different. You see, you can't do this thing on your own. That's why you need Christ's Spirit on the inside. He said, you know what I'm, you know what I'm telling you. You know the brother's telling you. You ought to say amen. I can't. Look, you know, sitting in your him. It's not me. You see, you people got it all wrong. He messed. You need to stop your grandma and mess your mind up. God is talking. Hey, that's not even on my outline what I'm telling you. God is talking to you. He's saying, repent. Oh, my goodness. He's talking about instruction. This instruction is to be demonstrated by the instructor. I show you how to live this. That's why when I tell you what to do, I say, you do what I do. I don't know what you have to do. I'm the instructor that he's put in charge of you. Do what I tell you. I ain't got to do. You don't even know what you're talking about. That's why he called me here. Oh, what makes you so right? Don't I have a right to rebel? Heck yes. And I couldn't use a stronger term than that. You got the freedom and the right to rebel all you want. But don't come around me. Don't come around me because I'm going to call it. I am not going to say, well, now, brother, I know that you're having a wrestling match with tension and we're going to pray. I say, you rebel. Show me your legs. I'm ready to cut you from under there. That's it. I was talking with young Eugene. He happened to be watching that newsreel that night when they showed that about MTV. And young 15-year-old lad said, Pastor John, when I watched it, he said, oh, I know Pastor John is watching this, and I know he's just about ready to explode. Eugene, brother, you were right. I was watching it on the news, and I almost threw up. I said, look at what our young people are wrestling with. And this man calls himself a prince. No, he should call himself, number one, a princess, because he is a deviant, a faggot, a homosexual. Yes, I'm going to use those hard words. That man is a deviant. And you don't want your boys being nothing like him. Well, the lady up there, Nancy, had on a dress, Sister Stanley. Five men came around her and commenced to ripping all of her clothes off. And she was singing in her underclass. I said, look at this woman. I thought about my daughters. I said, if I ever I'd go up on the stage and drag my daughters behind off that stage and kick her butt all the way home. So I would. I said, aren't you embarrassed? Another man was given an award for a ceremony, and he said, the winner is. And he unzipped his pants and pulled an envelope out of his crouch and read the name. I said, degradation! This entire country is going to hell. What are we doing? We're sitting watching. He said, ooh, wasn't that exciting? The church. The church. You're not appalled. You're not shocked. As a matter of fact, show it to me. I got to see it. No, you don't know. You don't want to see that. Protect your offspring from filthiness. And then when it does come on, tell them that man is an abomination before God. And everybody that backs him, the whole MTV, all of them are sinners on their way to hell. Now, if you know people that's employed there, they need to resign and get a decent job. They are propagating sin. Now, when the church, you see, I'm a pastor. It's my role to tell you what sin is. That is probably, you don't have a right to talk about people. Yes, I do. He said, give them sound instruction. I'm coming back to judge the world. I'm not coming back here to give in to their appeasement. What do you think God is? Well, I have to bend to them. They control me. I will do what they tell me to do. I don't want a God like that. I want a God that's going to say to me, you make demands on me, and if I don't fulfill your demands, wipe me out. That's the kind of God I want to worship. I don't want no kind of God that's, well, I've got to give in to them because they are black and they're living in the ghetto and the world is difficult and everybody needs to be let off the hook. And God is saying, I will wipe you out. My justice is more important than your filthy, phony existence. God is not concerned about our materialism and our existence. He's concerned about one thing, his name being vindicated. That's all he's concerned about. Go to that stupid job that God has given you and lift his name up. Amen. And when they laugh at you, lift it up again. When you go into your supervisor, you tell them, Jesus is Lord, and He is Christ, and I am His, and I will live it. Boy, you know what they're going to do? They're going to look at you a second time. You're going crazy with that religion stuff. You know, they nuts. Yes, I'm a fool for Christ.
Amen.
I am His fool today. Everywhere I go, I am His fool. You hear me? And you walk around here, well, you can't say nothing. You can't do nothing. And the only time you give vent to the Holy Spirit is when somebody sings a song in church. Only time you give, then we have a good time. No. You're going to have a good time putting your life on the line. My friends, that's what He called me to do. Whew, I must be getting old. I'm getting out of breath. Y'all need to pray for the preacher that he catches breath. All right, let me continue to try to exegete this. In other words, it is the responsibility of every shepherd to speak God's truth. Now, that's my responsibility, to speak His truth, not your truth, not what makes you feel good, not what these other preachers are speaking. I know some folk don't understand me. It's why you always talking about other preachers, because they're no good. That's why I'm always talking about them, because they're dirty rascal. As my good friend out there in San Antonio says, they're dogs. That's what they are. They're dirty dogs. They got into the ministry to be dogs to dog people. And they are dogging their people. They're not. There are some preachers, God bless them, that are preaching like this morning. Most of them are not. The choirs are preaching for them. Thank you, Sister Frost, for letting the Holy Spirit use you. Let's sing this together. I like that more than a choir. Let's all sing these good old words here. You are the choir. You don't need a special form of entertainment to entertain you. That's not the way it was done in the New Testament church. They all sung it. So, Sister Frost, I will be praying that you continue to choose songs like that and let us join in to sing along. But you know what? Y'all messed up when you come to church and you say, well, I'm going to see what they're going to do. No, I'm wondering what you did last night. Yes, I'm responsible. Any man who refuses to fulfill this command or proclaim anything else which God did not tell him to do, that man is not a true shepherd. He's not a true one. He's a false one. Another thing, church, that we need to do is start just calling a shot a shot. I mean, I heard somebody say on the television, if it looks like a rabbit, if it hops like a rabbit, if it eats like a rabbit, it most likely is a rabbit. And the same thing with these crooked preachers. If he talks like a crook, walks like a crook, speaks like a crook, he is a crook. Well, touch not the Lord's anointed. He isn't the Lord's anointed. The Lord's anointed would not crook you. He is a goat in sheep's clothing. He's not God's chosen. God wouldn't choose anybody to trick His people, preach erroneous, false, crazy doctrine. Well, unless you get down and blabber in 18 languages that has never been spoken on the planet, you don't have it. Well, God is now calling women to preach because the men aren't preaching. You need to come to all of that. I'm preaching, and I'm a man, and going to be one. Oh, God needs a woman now because men have abdicated the pulpit. No, you got to stop going to the circus and come to church. You see some preaching. Oh, my son don't know what a man is. All in our society, they're half of them are bisexual. Send them to church. I'm growing up men here. Oh, no, I don't like the way you're growing men up here. They take too much responsibility. We'll get to your verse. You need to learn how to submit to masculinity. I don't like that kind of doctrine. Yes, sir. We'll see what you don't like. You see, and that isn't that the issue? God is not concerned about what you like. He never has been concerned about what I like. He's only concerned about vindicating Himself. If you people can understand God, He says, I exist because I exist. Well, what reason do you have? I'm just here because I'm here. Well, what do you want me to do? Adhere to what I tell you. I don't want to do that. Well, then get ready for the ground to be cut out from under you. And then, I didn't mean to go to this, but some of you ladies know that I did already, but when I go to Ephesians, When I go to Ephesians chapter 1, you might say, what right does God have on my life? Well, you better go to Ephesians chapter 1. And you better glance on down to verse 4. Because, see, you don't know who God is. Verse 4 says this, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Do you know what I mean? God chose you. You have nothing to do about this thing. You know, I got saved. No, he chose you. What did he choose you for? That you would be holy and blameless before him in love. He chose you and so that you can be holy and blameless. The church is not holy, nor is it blameless today. It is rebellious, and it is unholy. And look at verse 5. He predestined us to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself. Why did he do it? According to the kind intention of his will. He chose you because he wanted to. You didn't get up and walk down the aisle and get yourself saved. He spoke with you as you sat in that pew and said, repent, you rebel. And you did it. Now you're going to get up and do your own thing. He said, you better check it out. God is saying, don't you tempt me. You see, and that was, people, wasn't that Israel's problem? They continuously tempted God, and God continuously kicked their behind. If you just look at Israel's problem, God's chosen people, he chose them. And they continued to rebel. I mean, that wilderness experience for all those years was one trip after the next. They kept screwing up, and God kept kicking their behind. And if you read the text of Scripture, nobody over the age of 20 except Joshua and Caleb and their families went into the promised land. All of them died in the wilderness. Now that's where it's going to have to be in some of our lives. We're going to have to die in this wilderness called sin. Yes, the preacher. This man ought not to be supported in any way by believers. If you know a man that is not preaching God's word, that is hucksuckling the word of God, that is not, you are not to support that kind of preacher. If he's not telling you the truth and talking about sin and sinners and preachers, you are not to send him your money. You are not to buy his magazines. You are not to go to the place that he calls a church and set up there because it's big and new and shiny. You are buying into his heresy. You are not to support them. You are to really support crazy preachers like me that's going to tell you the truth. Because I'm going to tell you, friends, there's one thing that's eternal, and that's your soul. And when you leave this planet and wake up in glory, this day is going to come back to all of our minds. You heard me tell you what he was to you. You sat in your pew and you repeatedly, as a matter of fact, you've seen me work through him in your life, and you cannot deny that I was doing it, and you repeatedly. And then he's going to say, and you thought that I'd do something to him? He's getting a crown of righteousness because he was faithful to the word, and you were faithful at being a rebel. Friends, we can change and turn this entire thing around. See, this man ought not to be supported. My refusal to submit to God's will breaks covenant that God has with me. Now, I'm talking about preachers. I'm not talking about you because, you see, first thing the preachers want to do is talk about their people. Well, I want to talk about myself and let you know where I'm coming from. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. Beautiful words. This is why I preach the way I preach. And it says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. Then Paul says, for I am under compulsion. Now, let me stop right there. See, I do this, Brother Matt, because I am under, I must do it. I told the brothers Thursday, man, I wanted to preach a good, nice, sweet sermon, James. I wanted to come here and preach something like I know everything's going to be all right. And every time I try to sit down and do that, God says, what are you doing? You know what I want. I said, Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I mean, can't. And you know the Lord said to me? You can have good times with me on your own. He says, but you've got to cut. I said, Lord, not another series, not another theme. Don't they know yet? You know the Lord said? Look around. Why is now the growing? Why don't they tell brothers and sisters in the church that they know are sinning, it's sin? No, Pastor John,
You got to sweat yourself to death today. Lord, I got to sweat up my suit. Sweat that sucker up. You've got to tell them what I want you to tell them. I am under compulsion. Then Paul says, for woe is me if I do not preach the truth. Paul says, woe is coming to me if I don't. See, now some of these preachers, they obviously do not know the word of God. You know, because this term woe has a serious effect in the Greek. It means anguish, anxiety, and judgment is mine if I do not tell them the truth. I told Deacon Monin, I told Deacon Miles, I think I told Deacon Frost was in that meeting. Who else was in that meeting when they asked me to be pastor of this church back in 1986? Deacon Fantroy. I told those four deacons, I said, you went, and I don't know whether Blake was there yet, and Reverend Finister was there. When they called me as a pastor and they said, do you want to be the pastor of this church? I knew the ramifications of that statement. I knew the ramifications of that question. And when I said, if God has put on your heart to choose me, I am obligated to preach the truth. Well, now, Pastor, we're looking for the church to grow. I says, it will grow as I preach the word of God. That's all I know. I will not use hooks and handles and schemes. I am just going to preach the truth, and the true saved will come. And I says, and they will not like me, and you will not like me. And those men were talking about how they cried and how they wept and how they wrestled. Now, I'm going to tell you, here we are in 1991, and your pastor, your shepherd, your leader is telling you, I need to see some more zeal in you. I need you to go to your church and say, for Christ I live, for Christ I die. And all you vile, I mean, you just got to say, you vile, corrupt, heathen, pagan sinners. They are not going to like you. And, of course, you go there and do your job. But when you get in, David, that conversation when somebody is challenging God's righteousness, you said, I am a righteous person. God is righteous. You are a heathen. Look for trouble. That's what you're living for. I know they don't teach that in churches. No, you're supposed to like him to love you. No, he didn't tell me that. He didn't tell me that. Look what it says in the next verse, verse 17. For if I do this voluntarily, Paul says, speaking about the preacher, for if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted in me. You see, I'm not going to preach against my will. I do this voluntarily. I don't try to figure out, well, if I preach like this, they may leave. Yes, I want you to. Because if anybody leaves Olivet, and I want you to do this perfectly clear, if you leave Olivet and you're a real Christian and you go to another church trying to find something else, you will never be happy there. You will never be happy there because you've heard the truth. And if you're of the truth and you go where the truth is not being preached, your spirit's going to be grieved. He's in you. You will find yourself coming right back here, sitting right down saying, Lord, feed me until I want no more. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 15. I believe we see the exact same admonition to godly men. And it says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he, that is Paul, is a chosen instrument in the King James vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles. And look what it says in verse 16. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now God has called me as a chosen vessel, and I'm going to do my job to the maximum. Randy can tell. I've had conversations with Randy. And Randy, when I talk to you like that, brother, son, because I love you, I'm a chosen vessel. I'm going to talk to you God's truth. Randy, you can kick your heels up in my face all you want to. That's suffering. I tell my wife, I say, Lucy, I'm going to teach these people until I drop dead. And if they make me suffer, I'm just going to have to suffer for it. I told some of you earlier, I'm going to have to get out of town in a couple of days just to go away for 3 or 4 days. I need to get away from you people. But you know what would make it better, James? If I preach to you and you start doing what I'm asking you to do. But you know what we do? We just keep playing that same old, oh, I can do anything I wanted. God ain't going to do nothing to me, and he don't know everything. I remember when he was a Sunday school teacher. He ain't nothing. I mean, you know, what does he know anyhow? Just because he went and got him a master's degree. Lisa, you can say, I got me one too. I'm just as good as you. You know what? That about drives me crazy. I said, don't these people know who I am? The Lord said, no, they don't have the slightest idea who you are. They don't even know what I call you to do. And then when I have my little self-ordained pity parties like we have, amen, 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 self-ordained pity parties, you know what God tells me? Negro, I will wipe you out. You will do exactly what I tell you to do. And I teach my men, for those of you ladies that don't know this, you're going to know it now. I teach men in this church to be this way. You stand up with your bad self and have them stand there. Men don't know how to stand today, especially black men. They're falling for anything. Stand up and say it. People don't like it. Look at them in their face and say, what did I say? I said it. Oh, don't worry. We're going to get down to the rest of you. See, this is hard on me. And you go, oh, man, you're just getting off on yourself. You just think you're so terrific. No, you see what it's doing to me? Ruining my suit? Should have preached in my robe this morning if I had any sense at all. God is not pleased with those who refuse to obey him. You know, Hebrews 5:9 says that eternal salvation is given unto those that obey him. If I do not obey him, God is not pleased with me. As a preacher, if I give you what you want, and God does not want me to give you that, I do not have eternal salvation. Now, what I want you to do is to take that term and place it right in the midst of your individual lives. If God is not pleased with me, what in the world do you think he's thinking about you? Let me go on. Because people are the same today as they were in history past when it comes to the question of obedience. I was reading this, and I'm going to go there to Exodus chapter 16. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I do want to share this with you. And I'm not in a rush this morning. I don't care whether I ever get out of verse 1. Next Sunday, we may continue in verse 1. It is not my premise to say, okay, I finished the outline, and we're through. There's too much of that in our churches. I said, we may be in Titus for the rest of our lives. If Christ comes back in 3 months, we may not be out of the book. And you ought to say, gee, isn't that great? I'm learning more and more and more about what God is doing. I want you to look at something. I'm going to try to read it quickly. I'll be skipping some verses. Why do I have to do what God told me to do? Listen, talking about Israel on their little journey to the promised land, to heaven, so to say. Then set they out of Edom, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month after the departure from the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Now, the scenario that you have before you is that God chose Moses and Aaron to lead his people. He led them out of sin, out of Egypt, taking them, so to say, to heaven. And while they taking them, the people grumbling against the preachers. Now, let's back up in this scenario. When God spoke to Moses at the burning bush and says, I want you to go get my people, and Moses says, well, Lord, you know how they are. God would say, I didn't ask you to tell me any kind of history lesson about how they are. I said, I told you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Moses strutting out going to Pharaoh. God taps Moses on the shoulder. Oh, by the way, buddy, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. You know what he's saying? Your job's going to be hard, preacher. He said, preacher, when you go to people and tell them what I want, I'm going to harden their hearts against you. See, I know about people in my church that I pastor. Your hearts are hardened. Just the way it was here. They grumbled against the preacher. Stay there. Look at verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, because, see, they start grumbling because they didn't have anything to eat. Matter of fact, I think I skipped too soon because I believe I better read this. This is what they grumbled about. They grumbled in the wilderness, and they said to him, would we have died, verse 3, at the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the pots of flesh or meat, when we ate bread to the full? For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. In other words, they said, man, we should have stayed in sin. At least there we had a decent meal to eat. And now you've brought us out. Now think of their mentality. God spoke to the preacher and said, I'm going to give them a land that flows with milk and honey. They experienced the Passover. They experienced all the plagues. They experienced the firstborn dying, swarms of locusts, water turning to blood. God did everything. They saw it with their eyeballs. They said, God is worth it. They couldn't lie. And then they get out in the wilderness and turn to the very preacher and say, you set us up. We want to go back. Christian church today, God has blessed us immensely, and we want to go back in sin? I can't understand the church. Don't you know what he's done for you? I want to go back in sin. No, no, Moses did not give in to them. And the Lord said unto Moses in verse 4, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. And look at the bottom part of that verse, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. God says, oh, they're talking that trash, but I'm going to give some instruction, and that instruction is for a test. Now, a lot of times when I talk with a lot of you folks here, you think it's me. I died in 1967. You don't understand that principle yet. Pastor Harley has a great sermon. I got a copy of it. I'll roll it off for you, and it's called, Are You Dead Yet? That's the problem with the Christian church. You're still walking around alive. You need to die. I died in 67. So therefore, whatever God tells me to do, I'm a dead man. But you know what you walk my head. I ain't dead. I'm very alive. I'm going to do what I want to do. You ain't going to tell me what to do. And hey, I'll kick your behind if you get bad. And quiet is kept, I'll bring smoke on you. Right. I just can't believe this. Look at verse 7. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, and he hears. Look what he says in verse 7. And he hears your grumblings against the Lord. See, it said that they were grumbling against Moses, but that wasn't grumbling against Moses. That was grumbling against God. God said, I read you. Your grumbling is against the Lord. And what are we that grumble against you? Who are we that grumble against? What are you doing grumbling against him? See, when you get mad at me and get, listen, any member of this church or ex-member, and there are some members that are going to be ex from this role, if you grumble against me and what I teach you, I will put you out of this church. Simple as that. That's my role. That's not yours. Mine. You grumble against the word of the Lord, I will X you out of here. You will go to any other church and play that smack with these other preachers that will allow it. I will not put up with your sin in this body. Because when God sends sincere hearts here, I don't want you hypocrites around me. That's my role, and I'm going to do it. And if that bothers anybody's heart in this room, you got 2 minutes to exit now. Now, I mean that. I refuse to put up with sin. And then how dare you try to poison the rest of the congregation with your rebellion. Now, if you don't believe me, you read Exodus. Moses told them to stop and they wouldn't. God opened up the ground and swallowed 25,000. Then it stopped. I will put you out because I don't want the ones hurt here. And if you try to hurt them, I will confront you to your face and say, oh, you're allowed to come and sit down and visit us. You're even allowed to take communion with us. But you are not a part of us unless you repent. That's the way it's going to be in God's church. Now, all this stuff, these so-called rules and parliament that is not in this book, that's gone. God's justice prevails in his house. I'm telling you, the church has gotten away from God's justice. And God is not always walking around with a big smile on his face. God is outraged, and he's talking to preachers, and he says, you need to get outraged too. And I know some people are saying, you think you God? No, I know what my role is. I'll get to yours. Look what else it says in verse 9. Moses said to Aaron, say to the congregation and to the sons of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumblings. He says, no, come on, come out of your closets and talk to God. God is saying, you come and talk to me with your bad self with all your mess. Don't go and talk to some weak Christian that don't know up and down about Jesus. Don't go from house to house spreading lies and poison because you are the rebel that you are. God says, you come to me. I know you don't believe that. Oh, man, you're just making this up. I didn't write this. I didn't write it. I didn't write. I told you, God, hey, I can't get through verse 1 here. You don't believe me. Look at verse 12 of Exodus chapter 16. And it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying in verse 11, I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel to speak to them. See, and then when God sent them the manna, they were so stupid and unspiritual. In verse 15, when the sons of Israel saw it, that is the manna, they said to one another, what is it? God sent them a blessing, and they were so far out of whack, they didn't know what the blessing was. What is it? Is that the way it is in your life? God is trying to talk to you and trying to get us to do something, and you grumble, and then he blesses you because he called you. That's his nature. And then you end up saying, what is going on in my life? You idiot. You are so spiritually out of whack that you don't even know the way that God acts. Let me admonish the spiritual leaders in this church. When I approach you and I tell you to approach a Christian in this church and admonish them about their sin, I expect you that I approach to admonish them. That's why I got to get out of town near the end of the month and get some rest. Because I'm doing some of you deacons and spiritual leaders' job. And it's about to kill me. It's about to kill me because you won't say nothing. You won't do anything. You're sitting around hoping that I'm going to die and so you can have a good funeral for me. I got news for you. You're going to do it. You're going to confront it, and then you're going to feel indignation like me. Or I will remove you from that position and put somebody there that will. That's the way it is. See, a lot of us, well, I'm in my position, and that's all you in. It's just a position, taking up space. Do what he told you to do. Or we'll get down to your role. Yeah, we're going to get down to your role. See, I'm talking about me this morning. I don't have to talk about you yet. God has already told you. Listen. And because, see, Tony, I spoke to you, but, see, I told him, man, I want to preach me a happy-go-lucky sermon. Man, I want, and God says, Negro, I'll kill you. No. It's never going to be that way with you. Some of you may be saying, some of you are the leaders. Well, since you're such the leader, you do my job for me. Well, fine. Step out of the position. Resign. So I can put somebody there that's going to do something. But it's got to be somebody that knows Bible and believes it. It's got to be somebody that has the Bible as a rule of life, not some silly tradition when you're afraid to tell somebody the truth. That is not what ministry is all about in the Christian church. God is not pleased when we refuse to obey him. Why is it so important for the man of God to apply or to comply with the scriptures? Because people are just like they were before. And God has promised us that if we speak the word, that he will deliver us from the word. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, you would see something very interesting there. And you just remember in your passing Exodus chapter 16. I think it's a great chapter for you to read if you want to know how people will grumble against Pastor John. Oh, yeah, you see, they're going to grumble. And see, and I'm asking the Lord all week, Lord, why are they grumbling against me? The Lord sent me there and said, that's why. That's why. Because you're telling them what I told you, they're going to grumble against you till you drop dead, fella. And the more new people that come to this church, guess what they're going to do? They're going to grumble against me too. Because you know what? They come out of churches where the pastor don't take a stand like this. Pastor just putting up with them to stack the members so the pastor can get the money. He's after your money. That's all he wants is your money. Come on, never hurt nobody's feelings. Tell everybody everything's going to be all right. And everybody have a good, never hurt nobody. I doubt if that pastor is getting to God's heaven. I'm not being a judge. But, you know, all right, let me put it to you this way since I'm talking about me. Let me ask you this question. Why would he tell me to do it and bring judgment on me if I don't and not tell another godly man that he doesn't have judgment? That makes God two-faced. And if he's two-faced, he ain't God. and I don't want to worship him. Because he got one set of standards for one preacher over here, and another set of standards for a preacher over here. Well, if we all preaching from the same word of God, how can he get a different interpretation than what I get?